Sitting up here behind me waiting to throw things at me, I think. But that's okay. I've got a hard head, and so maybe it'll just bounce off. I don't know. Take your Bibles this afternoon. It is a short devotional message, I trust, and one that I'm not coming out of the Gospel of Mark, as a matter of fact. So if you would, I'm going to give you a little bit of time to find your way to our source text. Here we go. It is a Bible test. Okay, we're going to look at one verse as our source text, and that is in Zephaniah chapter 3. What? Yes, Zephaniah chapter 3, looking at verse 17. I'd like to share with you a brief devotional thought before we begin our business meeting. Business meetings can sometimes be rather droll with the facts and the figures and such, but I believe that it is better and will be a better meeting if we go into it encouraged in the Lord by the word of the Lord. Amen? So, I've titled this devotional thought as God's Delight. And so by titling it as God's Delight, I wonder if we ever consider what that might be. What is God's delight? I mean, we could probably all come up with some kind of an answer for that, but what is God's delight? We know from Hebrews chapter 11 that God is pleased, He is delighted when His children demonstrate and live by faith in Him for all things in life. The Bible says, for without faith it is impossible to please Him. So I have to believe that the converse is absolutely true as well, that if we live by faith, it pleases God. That is one of God's delight. But I believe that there's more to that. So have you found your way to Zephaniah? It's right in between Habakkuk and Haggai. Does that help? Okay, well, if it doesn't help, let's see. When I was looking at it in my study Bible at home, it's on page 994. No? Okay, well, in the Bible here with me today, it's on page 1526. Okay. 102. Okay, well, we're somewhere in the middle there. Maybe that helps, maybe not. It's right there between Habakkuk and Haggai. Now, while you're looking for that, or as you're turning there, we might also consider that God delights in righteousness, God delights in holiness, God delights in obedience. And all of these things are true. But I believe there is even more than that. And quite honestly, while it is more than that, I also believe that it's sometimes much simpler than that. What is God's delight? What could it be? Here's a little clue for you, and we're going to find out. Luke chapter 15 and verse 10 says, "Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Okay. So God's delight is in a saved soul. Friends, God's delight is the redeemed of the Lord, the adopted child. It was Israel first, but friends, now that's you and me. Do you understand? Do we understand that we, as saved individuals, are God's delight? Well, how can that be? Look with me, if you would, at Zephaniah chapter 3, and I'll get there as I turn a page, or as I turn a page to a blank page and then look over it again. There it is. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse number 17. The Bible here reads, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy, he will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing." Now the English Baptist preacher, a man by the name of Charles Spurgeon, wrote these words. He said, "How heart-cheering to the believer is the delight which God has in His saints." Now, I know that when I think about me, and when I think about what I've done in, well, all of life, I can't rectify in my own mind why God might delight in me. Perhaps, not saying that you have, but perhaps you've had the occasional thought along the same lines of yourself. But God has preserved the truth, has He not? God has preserved the truth. It is absolute. In fact, Psalm 119 and verse 89 tells us, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven as it is here on earth." So we ought to abandon any self-critical thoughts that go beyond what is useful to correct our own behavior before God. Did you get that? We ought to abandon the self-critical thoughts that go beyond what is necessary to correct ourselves and our behavior before God. Once we correct our behavior before God, when we get right with God, then it's time to abandon the woe is me. It's time to abandon the I'm not worthy, as Pastor said this morning. It's time to abandon all of that because the Bible tells us that the Lord God Almighty will joy over thee with singing. God said he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will joy over thee with singing. So how can that be? Why would he do that? Well, because we just sang the song, Jesus loves even me. God loves me. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 said, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Believers, so great a price was paid to redeem us that it is the only response when we accept and hold fast to that gift, believing on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Delighting in us is the only thing that God can do because he's given his own Son to die for us. And when we accept that, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God for one sinner that repenteth. Amen. When we exercise that gift, when we exercise that faith that God has given us, Jeremiah 32 and verse 41 records, "Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good." Now last week, I did pose the question, do I believe of God enough to see his hand at work in my life? We just heard the message this morning. Do we have faith enough? Do we believe God to see his goodness toward us? Of course, when there are things that need to be corrected in me, then my righteous and holy Father must correct me. And Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9 tells us, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? And then in that same chapter 12 of Hebrews, verse 10 goes on to say that God chastens us for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. And verse 11 says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So friends, God's reproof and correction and instruction in righteousness is because he delights in us and he wants us to be able to walk together with him. And to do that, we of course must be in agreement with him. And God says, be ye therefore holy, for I am holy. May we be encouraged today, friends. Just short devotional thought, but we need to be encouraged, I think, sometimes to remember that God has only one desire for us. And we find that in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. Many of you probably have that committed to memory. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now, when we find ourselves struggling and unable to find that peace that we are longing for, consider this verse of our text. Remember that God said, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. God is on our side. God delights in his saints. Remember Jesus' own words as well, if you will, as we close this devotional and we'll get ready to go into this business meeting. Jesus tells us, peace I leave with you my peace, the very peace of Jesus Christ. He says, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So friends, as we go into our business meeting, the Bible tells us that all things should be done decently and in order. And I believe that when we remember that God delights in us, we can only do decently in order that which pleases God. So let's meet together with this business meeting by faith, trusting that God has our best interest in heart, which He does. God delights in us. He joys over us with singing. And we can praise Him for it. Amen? Amen. Amen. Pastor?